What are some of your go-to questions that you tell yourself in the moment where you feel the struggle is real?
This is not the last time you will struggle. Mm-hmm. You will not be given something that you are not prepared to do.
This moment of grief, this too shall pass. This moment of joy, this too shall pass. This moment of anxiety, this too shall pass.
Right.
What's it trying to teach you? The quicker you can figure out what it's trying to teach you, the quicker it's going to pass.
One thing that I say a lot is, I've trained for this. If I can go through this with grace, I can help so many other people that will go through this. When do you know you should get back at it again? Chances are, if you're a human being, you are going to go through one of these situations, and that situation is going through hard times. Today, if you guys have kiddos, I advise maybe to save this podcast maybe as later, because I got two of my coaches here with me. So I don't know what's going to happen in this episode, but this is a trial run. This is our first kind of three-way. So this is our like three podcast version. We don't know if the audio is going to turn out well, but if it ends up turning out well, we're going to continue to do this. I'm excited because it brings a different energy when I have my boys here with me. I have Coach James here, the legend, right? So, and I got Coach Nick. No,
like that, right?
Yeah, normally I have Nick has a few other nicknames, but for the most part, guys, thank you for coming in. I'm really excited to kind of have this conversation, because this conversation came from an audience was like, how come you guys never go through hard times? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, it just seems like you guys have it all put together. And while it may seem like that for some, we all go through hard events in our life. And I wanted to kind of have a conversation around on how you guys really create your own frameworks to really tackle that on. So you guys ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Right. So before this, I broke this down into steps. And James, you're going to remember this. We did a paddleboard trip back into the CrossFit Mountains Edge days. You remember that?
I remember that.
And Nick, you weren't there, but we did like a workout. And that was the time where you could actually bring kettlebells and all of these things. And what we designed was a kettlebell workout with a paddleboard. You paddleboard really far and then you come back in. It was really fun, by the way. But anyways, you had an option to put the little floaties. Didn't want to do that.
No, man.
I'm too hardcore for that. So I decided to opt out of it. And probably not the best choice, because I'm going really fast in the paddleboard and then you're going back because you're trying to win in every workout. It just makes more sense that way. But anyways, I don't even remember the workout, but we did a few kettlebells, we did a few burpees, and then you paddleboard as far as you can and then come back, and then you tag your partner in. Was that correct?
Teams of four. It was teams of four. I remember it because it hurt.
Yeah,
It was hard. You know what the hard part about it was? Mm-hmm. We had never done anything on a dock like that. We'd never done kettlebell swings and paddleboard. It was things that you haven't done together mm-hmm. with people that you didn't work out with all the time.
Right.
And then it was hard.
It was hard. Okay, so you remember it. It was trauma. So like when you get trauma, you forget about things.
The memory, pain.
But here's what ends up happening. We're like three rounds in, you know, and I think it was Joey, and he's always the top of the line. And I'm like, okay, I'm going right next to this guy. So I'm paddleboarding really hard. And guys, if you've never paddleboarded before, it can get pretty wobbly. But anyways, I'm going really hard. And then my nightmares came true. I fell in the water. And I'm not the best swimmer. So what ended up happening was I started to panic. And I'm panicking and I'm like moving my arms and my legs and I'm like moving my abs. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just trying to survive. And then the paddleboard is getting further and further and further away from me mm-hmm. at that moment.
And we're all just watching it, by the way.
Yeah. And everyone thinks I'm like, I'm panicking. Sorry. I'm panicking really hard, right? And eventually I was like, okay, I'm going to, what are some of the stuff that I remember that people told me? Okay, move my legs, move my arms. And then I remember someone was like, if you just float, if you just like relax, you'll kind of just float up to the top. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. So I started to float and I was like, okay, cool. Now I'm not splashing everywhere. Someone's telling me, it was like, dude, your pedal board's right there. just start freestyling. And I'm freestyling back to the board. Okay. And then I get back onto the board and then I go back to paddleboard again. And then I come back and then someone else falls down and then I teach them. But anyways, this whole paddleboard story is my framework for me in terms of going through hard times. That first step, and I want to dive into this so you guys can chime in. That first step was use what you got. So the moment you fall down, you're experiencing a hard time, use what you got, whatever that is. It can be exercise for some. It could be journaling for some. It could be talking to someone, whatever that is. Step two for me was relax and then accept, right? Just to float. That was a big concept for me. The third one was then listen and learn. So it's very hard to listen to someone when you're just splashing everywhere. So I had to relax, and then I was listening to the lifeguard. I was able to get back on. The next one is do what you learn. I think that's really important. So people just learn things through going through hard times, but they don't execute and they don't do, and they remain in that place for too long. And then the next one is get back and do it again. You get back on that board, jump back on, and then do it again. And then this next step, step six, is actually just enjoy the view. Something that I'm currently working on. When I get back onto the board, I'm flying through. I think you should have moments where you enjoy the view, right?
Nobody enjoys the view.
Nobody enjoys the view. Why not? I'm weird like that.
We're all about the climb.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The climb is the best part.
And once you get there, you're like, okay, cool. What am I climbing next?
Exactly. And then the final step is help someone else. So I want to dive into these strategically in each part, because I think we all have different ways we handle this framework. So the first one I want to do is use what you got. So when you guys have that hard event, whatever it is, okay, like you have to break up with a girl, or you are in financial debt, or you have your own issues in terms of health, what are some of those things that you guys do that at least get you to be floating?
You want to give a couple, and then I'll give a couple?
I think you should just go first.
You want to go first?
I think yours are better than mine anyway.
How do you know? You haven't heard them.
Oh. Three's too much.
Three's too much. Okay.
The most you can give is three, so then James can go.
Go for it.
So for the longest, well, it's always been some form of a movement meditation. So when I was younger, when I was going through hard times, it would be going outside and just shooting hoops, right? Mm-hmm. Like had a basketball hoop I could move around, just put it outside the front and just shoot, right? Movement meditation. Then it turned into CrossFit, right? Helping me get into a better space mentally and emotionally. Now it's kind of turned into not necessarily wanting to beat my body up per se, more so being able to process whatever emotions are lingering, being able to process that more so through breath and breathing and a different movement meditation, we'll say yoga, and then also golf. So it's what I've come to find out is it's always been a movement meditation for me. It was, oh, okay, I'm going through a hard time. Let me go through a run. And then it turned into, okay, let me just shoot hoops out front. And then it turned into working out and so on and so forth. But it's always been something in relation to moving.
I like it. James?
I like that. It's so funny because mine's the opposite of this is where I go. Mm-hmm. I go to solitude.
Interesting.
I think about, and I think solitude, not silence and being by myself, but it's take all the things that are not important and just focus on me for a minute.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, when a hard time, it's probably I'm looking too many other places. I need to look at myself, but I also need a quiet moment. Mm-hmm. So that is for me the first thing I do. And half of what it is what's my actual problem? Or is it something else going on? Because for me, I'm going to bring my problem to somebody, but I need to figure out what it is, because I'm the one that on my step two, I give it to somebody. And what I mean by give it to somebody, I talk about it. I just had this conversation with one of our coaches this morning. Mm-hmm. I talk about my problem. So I release it a little bit. I release kind of like a volcano, a little eruption. you know, otherwise that thing's going to blow.
Pressure cooker.
Pressure cooker, yeah. Right? But if I can tell you a little piece of it, man, I feel a little better, right? Oh, yeah. Man. So that's, for me, I get silent before I get vocal.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my second thing that I go to. So
that was like the second, that was like the skill that I learned last. My initial go-through was always fitness. Always fitness. And that was the only thing. I was like, I'm in a bad mood. I'm going to work out. I'm sad. I'm going to work out. I'm angry. I'm going to work out. Right, but that can only take you so far.
What if you work out all day? What if you spend your whole day in the gym?
And then eventually you're like, nothing's working. Right, but that, if that's like the only, I think the big thing here that people need to grasp is you're going to have one thing that you know that's going to at least keep you afloat.
Mm-hmm.
Right, just enough that you can survive. The one that you want to avoid, and I think that's what I avoided, is just like just thinking about the problem all day. And you're just in the dark, curled up in the shower, right? And you're just like thinking about all your problems just like this.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying I ever done that or anything.
Never.
Right? Never done
We've
that.
We've all done that.
Okay. But that is like, what is your go-to? And James is solitude. And I think that's like solitude and also speaking it. I want to add something to speaking it because I've done it in ways where I spoke it to someone. It depends on who you're speaking it to, right? And they're like, cool, man. Like, how's your parents? And you're like, what? Like, I was just told you something real, and then now you're taking. So how the person receives it, they're like, oh man, like, thank you for sharing that, dude. I can't imagine what you're going through right now. I think that's also super important, especially if you speak that level of vulnerability, because sometimes they might even just like not even listen, and it just makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
They have to be in the empathetic listening space.
They
have to be holding a certain amount of space for you. I think you and Tara talked about that on your podcast.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you're not able to hold that space so someone can connect in that manner, it's mm-hmm. like, hey, we can't have that conversation at this moment. Let me do X, Y, and Z, and then let's have this at a later date. So that way you can feel heard and validated and
100%.
All that fun stuff. Yep. I think it's James kind of brought perspective to it, but I think there's an internal way and an external way. Right. Whenever you use what you got, he goes a little bit more internal, right? Reflection, identifying. I go external, but the external gets me to my internal. Getting my body to move something is what helps quiet everything down so I can identify. He goes a little bit more internal in the beginning, and then he externals it. Right. So I think there's a cool kind of dichotomy there.
Yeah.
And it's funny when you say it that way, it makes me think of who I am, if you think about me, is mm-hmm. very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I need to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
That's why I have to do it, because I'm very vocal all the time.
So in that moment of quietness, let's tap into this, because we all do the quietness now.
Mm-hmm.
I do solitude now almost more than my external, right? So like, I got to quiet down. Let's write down all my thoughts, right? Let's meditate. Let's pray on it. And then I go into the working out, because that's the easy. Those are low hanging fruit for me now, mm-hmm. right? So when you are in solitude, what are some things that you're doing? Let's
start.
Listen, if you're trying to lose weight, but you're just frustrated because you just can't seem to see any results, we would love to help you out. Now, we've been helping thousands of our athletes over the course of a decade by crafting personalized programs that are not only sustainable, but also effective. Now, if you're ready to transform your health, click on the show notes below, book a call with one of our coaches. We'd love to help you out. Now back to the show. Peace.
So something that I try to do is find not the answer,
mm-hmm.
find the deeper part of like the real problem, right? Is it me that I do something, or is it a habit that I've been doing that created the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Is it, oh man, my back hurts all the time. You know what? I sit down too much. Is it you sit down too much, or you don't take care of the parts of your body because you have to sit down, right?
Right.
You have to work. You have to go to an office. You can't avoid doing certain those things like that. But you also can't be, all right, change my entire life, right? So I try to figure out, is it something I can actually do, or is it something I need to accept? That's what I try to figure out. Maybe you don't figure it out at all. Maybe you just figure out, all right, which now I can talk about it to somebody. What part can I talk about it with somebody? Like you said, sometimes people aren't ready to handle all your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Sometimes you only need to give them a piece of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to decide who that person is you're going to give that piece to. And that might be the hardest part you do, because you're just not ready to give people all your stuff.
Right.
How long did it take before you could give your wife all your stuff?
Oh, like 8 years.
That's it. Just like eight years, right?
Yeah.
It took me and my wife 5.
Right.
Right? It takes that long before you're ready to give people your stuff, because you don't trust them that they can handle it.
Yeah.
You don't trust that they're going to respond the right way, because then you're like, oh, I just wasted all that energy on you. And you never want to feel that way. But that is the hardest thing I do. And what you do is use your village.
Right.
You find who those people are that you know you can talk to. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah. I need to talk to you. And you know when I need to talk to you. You need to talk to me. Mm-hmm. You tell me when you need to talk to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes your village sees when you need to talk to them and they talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a small village. And that's kind of my next one is 5 people, right? We've talked about those people. The same people you keep in your circle are probably the same people who you talk about your problems with easily. And you give them that stuff. And you probably give them bigger pieces.
Sometimes they already know, which is really cool.
Sometimes.
Right? I think all the time.
Most
you're like,
of the time. Oh, most of the time, this guy's going through a season. Mm-hmm. We've had this conversation multiple times. We had a conversation about him.
Right.
This week. Monday. Right?
Doesn't take much. Especially if you know each other so well. I think it's so special. I want to highlight something. If you guys just rewind that first 5 minutes of segment, what James does so well is he just asks questions. Every single thing that you said, is it me? Is it my sitting down? Is it because I'm doing this for my work? Right? It starts with questions. And a lot of times when people are in solitude, they are, at least for me, I'm always blaming. I'm blaming, right? I'm complaining. But the moment that I start asking questions, it frees me to create all of these solutions. Oftentimes people are looking for the answer, but what they should actually be looking for is the better question.
Mm-hmm. Understanding the scope of what it is that they're looking at so that they can ask the proper question.
Right. And I think it's so good, because when I spend time with you guys ask me different questions. Right. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how come I didn't ask that question? And I think that's what's so special when you're relaying it to a person that knows you really well. They're oftentimes, you guys are not even telling me what to do. Like an example is like, dude, I've fractured my foot. He's like, how much mileage are you doing? How much protein are you intaking? You know, what else are you going through in life right now? That may be that. Like it's very different. And then those questions go into my psyche and I start, what's weird is you start creating solutions. I think human beings naturally create solutions, but you have to prompt it with some amazing questions.
So one of my favorite questions, asked Madison this week and maybe last week as well. And it was a problem she's having. And it's one of my favorite problems. As a person who's very active, you learn that you're not eating enough.
Mm-hmm.
And she has this problem with lightheaded, dizziness, mm-hmm. all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear the problem. We hear the problem. We hear the problem. We hear the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But all I ask is, do you want my help?
It's a good question.
And she could have absolutely answered and said, nope.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay, right? But if I would have went in and tried answering and solving a problem, and she didn't want my help, it would have been just wasted energy and time, and she would have just possibly put up a wall that didn't need to be there. But once she decided, right, and we talked about this, there's nothing more powerful than when you decide, I decided I need help.
That's good.
Now I can open up and that person can give it to me and I can finally listen, and it's a powerful moment. But that's my thing, is your village can ask you that question.
Yeah.
Some people just come in, start solving your problem.
Yeah.
And here's what you need to do. You need to meditate. You ever tell somebody to meditate? This is the greatest conversation I've ever had with somebody. But once they said, what do you think I should do? Do you think I should meditate? Mm-hmm. Hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I should. You know what? It's a good decision you just made.
Then you can get curious about what led them there. Right. I want to point out two things. First thing I want to point out is both of you are really analytical in when you go into your solitude, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of like actions, what can I do? What have I done? All these different things. When I go into my solitude, I try to figure out sensation because I'm a big feeler. So you guys go at it mind down. I go body to the mind. Like I'm trying to figure out, okay, cool. What sensation am I feeling? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, I have this pit in my stomach. Why do you have a pit in your stomach? What's right. giving you the pit? Where's the pit coming from? And then once I kind of identify those factors, it yeah. allows me to kind of backtrack to like, oh, okay, cool. This is the emotion. Well, then what's the thought that's fueling the emotion, right? Or the emotional reaction and then running it backwards.
Yeah. This is why I brought you two in here. You see how crazy this is? You guys are master communicators in particular ways, right? Which is so special. Nick, you've taught me that every emotion is stored in my body. I've never even once considered where anxiety is in my body. Like when you're anxious and you're overwhelmed, where do you feel that? And I'm like, 100% traps, right? It's all on my traps, always, right? And then James, he's so good at that. It's like, do you need to be helped? Mm-hmm. Do you need a hug? Do you need to be heard? Like what do you need? Mm. For me, I'm always like, I'm gonna help that person, but right away it doesn't work that well a lot of times. Sometimes they need to be heard. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just like just having that initial conversation is really, really important. I think you do a good job doing that. And not everybody wants to be helped. Not everybody wants to be heard. I don't care if you like, I'm all about like, let's find some solutions. I'm a help person. Mm-hmm. Anytime I talk about and speak about my problems, I definitely don't need a hug. Mm-hmm. Some people need hugs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I think Madison's a big hugger. For me, like if I want, everyone's laughing, but she always needs a hug.
Always. Right?
Needs a hug. Yeah. Sorry, Madison, we love you. But yeah, you definitely need to be hugged for sure. I don't need to be hugged. I'm always like either heard or helped. Mm-hmm. Right? So those are like my speaking languages. What are your guys?
Hold on. I just want to go to the second thing I want to say because his ability to ask the right questions is kind of a concept that we're talking about in yoga teacher training, which is suffering. Mm-hmm. And you have to allow people to suffer to a certain extent, right? Because when you help, even no matter how well-intentioned help is, it's still coming from your ego.
Right.
Right. And not only is it coming from your ego, when you help, you're hindering their growth process. I'm stopping you from experiencing this thing that is ultimately for your best interest and your best good. Now you're going to have to deal with it later. Right. Exactly. All because I wanted to help, no matter how well intentioned. Yeah. So it's do you need space? Do you need to vent? Do you need a hug? What do you feel like you need? Right. Mm-hmm. What you're in your suffering. You're sitting with your life's karma. You have to figure this out yourself. The best thing mm-hmm. James does is he sits here and allows you to figure out what you need from James without taking you out of your suffering.
This is where the paddleboard thing concept framework works really well. When someone is in their stress and their suffering, they're splashing mm-hmm. everywhere. They can't hear you.
Sympathetic nervous
system. Right? We got to wait till they're ready to accept and they're ready to float. And in that moment, there's a little bit of suffering there. They're not, I mean, if they're drowning, sure, let's throw a lifeboat in there, but they're like, oh, just wait till they relax. And then boom, now they're in the state of like, okay, I can float. Now they're in the state of where they can actually be taught and be curious. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what really, that you touched up on was beautiful.
So take that mm-hmm. and think about every interaction you have with your son when he struggles.
Oh, I just kind of chill. Yeah.
If you're the helicopter parent, mm-hmm. you're hindering your child. Mm-hmm. You're doing it for you. Your big ego won't let your, child mm-hmm. suffer. Mm-hmm. My child isn't going to be the one that suffers. You're just delaying the inevitable. Yeah. She's going to suffer. And grade school, the first time they're asked to read, mm-hmm. in front of a group of people, they're going to be, chastised the first time they go to a gym class mm-hmm. and they're not good at a sport. Mm-hmm. They're going to get into high school and not be good at something. And where's my parents to soften the blow? No, sometimes I need to struggle so I can learn how to struggle and learn how to ask for help or learn learn my steps, right? And this is something I thought about as we were preparing for this. And, you know, by preparing, we talk about that.
Yeah.
I realized that everybody's steps should be different based on who you are, right? Mm-hmm. Like you just said it, you need a hug. So maybe you don't need to do certain things with certain people, but like certain people need certain things. You might need to find your own certain things. Mm-hmm. So that's like a little thing that I thought about as we were getting ready for this.
And I think you only find that through solitude. You can't have any input. Mm-hmm. You just have to be alone by yourself. Can be in a room, can be in your car, but you can't have any input. You just got to sit and listen to what is trying to output. So, because it's talking to you.
Yeah, even if Tony Robbins was here telling you what to do, he would be hindering you. Mm-hmm.
So let's go to those questions real quick. Because you guys have your own questions when you guys get into the deep and you're drowning in suffering. What are some of your go-to questions that you tell yourself in the moment where you feel the struggle is real? It's gonna get deep.
I'll let you go first.
No, I went first last time.
Okay.
What do you tell yourself?
This is one of my favorites. This is not the last time you will struggle. This is not the last hard thing you will do. This is one of many. And this is something I told one of our coaches today. You will not be given something that you are not prepared to do.
You just gave me two super nuggets there. Guys, you should write those two things down because that is extremely empowering, right? And it also gives me a little bit of hope when you say things like that, right?
When you said that, it's what I was going to say is this too shall pass.
This too shall pass.
Everything. Yeah. This too shall pass, right? This moment of grief, this too shall pass. This moment of joy, this too shall pass. This moment of anxiety, this too shall pass.
Right.
What's it trying to teach you? The quicker you can figure out what it's trying to teach you, the quicker it's going to pass. Become That's curious.
True. Yeah.
You just sit there and you're resisting against it. You know, what you resist persists.
Yeah. The lesson will, like, if you haven't learned the lesson, you're going to keep getting that same mistake.
Well, and it's almost like, how thick of a callus do you want? Do you want a little thin baby callus? Or do you want a thick, hard, strong callus, right?
We're talking about calluses.
We're talking about calluses, right? But
hard times.
In terms of sports, football players, right? Guys who have scar tissue have some of the strongest parts of their body, right? Ankles that have been broken and fused like Tiger's this week, right? Mm-hmm. That ankle is fused solid, more solid than like the space shuttle. But that guy's out there competing. Mm-hmm. This too shall pass. What would he do? He blew his ACL last year at the same tournament he's playing in this year. Guess what? He's out there competing with guys 20 years younger than him.
This too shall pass.
This too shall pass. This too shall pass. And man, something that I do, what I watch Tiger do now is set really good examples for his son. That's what I watch him do. His emotions are way under control now. He just talked about it. He has pulled back. They use the basketball reference. A lot less dunks. A lot more fadeaways.
You talking about Tiger?
Tiger.
Tiger was a basketball kid?
No. But it was a basketball reference, right? And golf.
So like LeBron.
LeBron.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. LeBron, early in his career, dunking on everybody.
Everybody.
He still dunks, but not as much. What does he do? He's doing his fadeaway, his step back. He's getting his percentage up from behind the line, right? The game has changed for him. No longer dunk.
No, man. It's so much on the body.
Because 100%. Your body won't be there forever. So he's teaching his son, Charlie, hey, you may be gifted like nobody else, but eventually you won't be.
Yeah.
And you need to learn how to shoot a fadeaway.
Mm-hmm. Someone actually did a statistic on LeBron. He's the fastest player, but he's also the slowest player all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right? You see him walk in all of his games, mm-hmm. but then you talk about longevity.
I was about to say, yep,
that's where mastery longevity on that comes from. Mm-hmm. Right? I like that. That's so good. Yeah. Can I share mine?
Do it.
Because I'm crazy. Right? And you guys probably, it makes sense how you guys approach your hard times and based on some of those things. But one thing that I say a lot is I've trained for this, which is really weird. But it gives me confidence like, okay, if I trained for this. So that's one thing that I say. Another one that I say is if I can go through this with grace, I can help so many other people that will go through this. Because at heart, I love helping people. So when I look at that struggle, I look at it as like an opportunity. I look at it as a gift. Even though it sucks, and they often do suck, I'm like, oh, I remember that one time where I helped this person. So I always like, I fast forward to level 7, which is help someone else. And it's just, it's so rewarding for me. And that's where I get the most fulfillment. I don't know if you guys get the most fulfillment is when you help somebody else go through what you went through.
That's when you know you got it, mm-hmm. right? Until mm-hmm. you can teach somebody, you probably don't get it. Mm-hmm. You may have a piece of it. You might have 45, 50, 70% of it. But until you can teach somebody, you might not have it. That's when you get it. That's when you have to get it, right? Mm-hmm. You can't teach somebody 75% of it because they're only going to get 75% of it. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you teach the 75%, you learn the 85%. Mm-hmm. The teacher gets, you're like, dang, I should have done that again. Why didn't I do that?
You understand you need to make variations of what it is that you perceive that you know. Mm-hmm.
In the act of telling someone to do meditation, you're like, dang, I should do another meditation mm-hmm. session real quick, which is so cool.
So when I say you said meditation, my favorite thing is to watch somebody's reaction. You tell them to do meditation. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to your reaction, right? Yeah. Because you, every time you do it, you need to get better at it.
Yeah.
You should find a better way to help somebody to help themselves. Mm-hmm. You can't keep telling people, bro, you need to meditate. Yeah. That doesn't work. You know what? Tell me what you do to, you know, center yourself. I'm like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do to think about what's going on inside of you? Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you do to calm yourself down? Well, I don't know. What do you do to get inner peace?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then they're like, should I be getting inner peace? Should I be calming myself down? What do you do? Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I do. And what I have told people many a time, I told people this yesterday, 10 minutes every morning. And I do 10 minutes of solitude. It's meditation, but I wake up, my alarm goes off. I just sit there for 10 minutes.
I'm going to play devil's advocate really quick.
Go for it.
Because you know this is what they tell you.
Yeah.
But James, every time I sit down, I think about too much things. Mm-hmm.
That's why I do that one in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you wake up in the morning, hopefully your mind's the most clear. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. why I do it in the morning. I don't try to – I love to meditate at night, but I got a whole day's worth of stuff on my mind. Mm-hmm. That's great, right? But when I wake up in the morning, I'm probably the most clear. And I don't put on a insight timer meditation. I just sit there.
Yeah.
And breathe and start my day in the most peaceful place. And if something needs to be brought to your mind, it'll work its way there. Mm-hmm. But if you can just start your day with a little bit of peace, boom. And then you can go and find all the hard things.
Yeah. Go for it.
No, I'm good.
I just wanted to touch on that. I like to think of when you start your morning with meditation, you start yourself at a baseline that's mm-hmm. easier to get back to during the day. Mm-hmm. At any point in time, you can just drop into your breath and it's easier to get you back to that zero point. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you don't, and you can speak to this, right? If you don't, it feels as though you're always trying to catch up to your day or you're always trying to find stillness.
Yeah.
Whereas if you start with it in the morning, you set that baseline and you can be having a super hectic day. Everything could be going wrong, but you get 5 minutes to just sit down and connect to your breath. Regardless of the Mount Everest that's happening, you can come back to baseline.
Yeah.
I'll give you one from that. Overslept one day last week. Mm-hmm. Didn't set my alarm. Didn't get my 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Still made it to everywhere I needed to be. Nothing at any point suffered in my day. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get my 10 minutes. And it was on a Friday. And it changed the whole aspect of my Friday. And I love a Friday. Everyone loves a Friday. Mm-hmm. I love a Friday. And but that extra couldn't get back there because mm-hmm. I never found it there. Mm-hmm. I never started there. I couldn't. And I talk about it. And when you oversleep, when you start your day like that, it's all day. And that's why. Mm-hmm. So that's so it's a it's a good little understanding of it.
So I try to meditate, but I got laundry, I got to make food, I got to take my son to soccer, I got to pay the bills. That's why I can't meditate.
That's why you need to meditate. Right. So that's what I was going to get into is how James asked the questions. We'll call it good cop, bad cop, right? Yeah. With certain athletes, I'm good cop. With certain athletes, I'm bad cop, right? So all the questions that James asked, like what do you do to find stillness? Mm-hmm. How are you silencing your thoughts, right? All those different things. That's one version. The other version is like, I'm an asshole. Because they'll tell me, like, oh, man, I can't sleep. I was like, you know what helps sleep? Meditation. That shit's crazy, bro. Or they're like, oh, man, I can't quiet my mind. And I'm like, oh, man, you want to know what helps with that? Meditation. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
So there's two different versions.
I like to relate it as, like, I can't CrossFit because I'm not in shape. And I'm like, my dude, that's why people CrossFit. Mm-hmm. That's why people work out. So they get into shape.
Yeah.
You don't just like get in shape and then you join a gym. Mm-hmm. You join a gym to get in shape. Mm-hmm. You have messy thoughts. So that's why you meditate. You don't clean up your thoughts, then meditate. Mm-hmm. You don't need it at that point, right? So I say that because I used to say those things to Jim. I used to say those things to you. I was like, bro, but I got all these things. He was like, this is why you need it. The absence of it is not as strong. It's like squatting with a empty barbell. It's not going to get you much. Mm-hmm. You want to meditate when you have the most crazy amount of thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's when you're really refining this skill of inner peace and solitude and clarification, right? When you have the craziest thoughts, meditate. Mm-hmm. When you have peaceful thoughts, meditate. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you the one where you have the most crazy thoughts. That's where you have the real revelations, the real gains in terms of inner peace. So
I think it's one of those things. That's when your meditation gets put into practice, mm-hmm. right? It's easy to sit in the dark in the morning when nothing's going on and to breathe. It's easy, right? It's tough to do it when you're in a heated conversation with somebody you care about, mm-hmm. right? It's hard when you're in a board meeting. It's hard when you're in traffic and everybody's cutting you off. Like mm-hmm. those are the moments when your practice gets tested, right? Mm-hmm. Can you find your way back to stillness? Can you sit in a meeting where everybody's saying this, that, and the third, and can you breathe and center yourself so that way you can respond and not react to what's going on?
Dropping
in the room.
Some heat.
So you just said something, and I'm going to slow it down. That's when your practice gets tested.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say that. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is what I train for.
Practice, mm-hmm. right? And we talk about practice, man. Mm-hmm. Not the game. Mm-hmm. But it's always the game. It's always game time. When your wife comes to you, it's game time. Mm-hmm. When your son comes to you, it's game time. You've been practicing on yourself all day. It's game time when those people come to you and they say, hey, I couldn't even fathom something that your son would come to you with that you wouldn't be able to handle, right? Because I think you've been ready for it. You've been practicing. You're ready for the game. Mm-hmm. But this is what I think about when I get to work on myself when I'm not feeling terrible. It's a good practice. This is my favorite one. Like you said, it's easy to do it when you're in the morning. When I go away and I spend a week in Newport Beach, I meditate on a pier with ocean waves and mm-hmm. have gotten 12 hours of sleep and run 5 miles a day and, got all this recovery. That's the easiest practice I've ever done. Going to a yoga retreat's easy to meditate. Mm-hmm. Coming home is the hard part, mm-hmm. right? They're trying to give you a easy practice because at home's the test. And if you don't realize that you should be practicing more instead of taking more tests, maybe that's what we need to figure out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is where, like, that one student in your class always says, oh, I won't be able to train because I have X, Y, and Z. This is why we train for those moments. Mm-hmm. This is why it's like when people are like, oh, I have a vacation here. I have this here. This is not a good time for me to start. I was like, my guy, this is the perfect place to start. Mm-hmm. Because if you can see progress in moments of chaos and in challenging times, you can make progress when it's smooth waters.
Yeah. And there'll never be smooth waters.
And James already knows this. There's no smooth waters. We've talked about
this, right? So the simplest joke is just how much of your life is a holiday weekend. Like I joke around 50% of your life is a birthday, a holiday, a vacation, something that's going to take you out of your normal thing.
Right.
That's real. Yoga retreat, shut everything down, I'm going to isolate, is not real. Real life is chaotic. It's traffic. It's running late. It's kids are sick. It's wife is sick. It's my boss is late. It's all the things that happen in your life. That's more real than this little bubble that you think is what's, what solitude is, what real life is. No, it's chaotic.
Those are my favorites. They're like, but Royce, I have my birthday coming up. I'm like, let's go. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Perfect.
Let's go work out. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you still work out. And then you have your birthday. Mm-hmm. And then we track your progress. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. You know, and oftentimes they think it's like either or. They're like, I'm going to get healthy or it's my birthday. I was like, no, you can have both. Mm-hmm. You can have your birthday Oreo cake and still work out, and we track it. Mm-hmm. Right. So like, and sometimes here's what's crazy. A lot of times the moment we marry those two together, they make progress.
Optimal performance.
Yeah. They just make progress because they now have accepted it, that it's actually part of life. There's no perfect season where you can start a nutrition challenge, a 75 hard. Don't pick the easiest quarter in your life to start 75 hard. Just do it. Mm-hmm. When you have that motivation, just start it. And I think that's one way you can really train your ability to go through hard times, right? So, and we'll touch up on that.
Release and accept for number two. I like that one a lot because it's after you find a little bit of solitude, you can release yourself from whatever you think the problem is, right? Your problem is not the problem. Your thoughts about the problem is the problem, right? All problems are just puzzles. You're just coming at it from the wrong perspective.
Yeah.
Cup's a little empty. So releasing that, it's not a problem. It's ultimately there for your good. It's there to teach you something. And then accepting that. And what do you have for three? Listen and learn.
Listen and learn.
That's the third pace. So we're like, once we're at solitude, we've reflected really, really well. We go into the third stage, which is listening and learning. Mm-hmm. So let's dive into this listening and learning. What are some things that people can do right now that can listen and learn? Or like, what's your process? You're going, okay, I've never handled this before. Boom. What's the next step for you guys?
I went first last time.
You're right. Listen and learn. So give me like, all right, so I'll pick from my own life. So recently just had a death in the family. And so RIP grandma, I love you lots. And so when everybody processes differently, right? And everybody had a different relationship with the individual. I think one of the coolest things I've seen on social media lately is Trevor Noah talking about each friendship that you have, but it's really relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Each relationship that you have with an individual, they get a horcrux, or they get a different aspect of you. For those that don't know the Harry Potter reference, right? Mm-hmm. You give a part of yourself to that person and they will always have that. Right. There's different every individual, every relationship has a different aspect of you. Mm-hmm. And some people are closer to whoever, have different, stronger bonds from a horcrux perspective than others. And so I really love that video.
Yep.
And so when understanding how people are processing or where they're at in their process of grief, it's being able to sit and listen mm-hmm. and empathetically listen. And again, I'll reference YTT, shout out Vibe Yoga. One of the coolest things when you empathetically listen is you just sit in your mirror. I think it's one of our favorite things in coaching and being coached mm-hmm. is you get to give me information and I don't give you anything of myself with that information. I don't give you a reaction mm-hmm. like because 90% of communication is nonverbal. I don't give you any nonverbal reactions. I just, yeah. I'm sitting and holding space for you and I listen to what you say and I just give it back to you. And the process of listening to what it is that you are saying mm-hmm. and then saying what it is that you said to me, either the exact same way or in a little variation, or maybe you can sprinkle some of you in there. It allows people to really process themselves. And it's very profound. Yeah. It's cool to be able to be in that moment, whether it be with a family member, whether it be with a member at the gym, whether it be with your significant other, when you're empathetically listening and you get to sit and witness someone processing real time, like that's what listen and learn is all about. So it's whether you're doing it for somebody else or whether you're doing it for yourself. Right. In your paddleboard story, It's what you do.
Yep. It's funny you say when you said that listen and learn and hold in space, it takes me back to all that energy you need to do that for somebody mm-hmm. for. It takes me to that moment mm-hmm. of how hard it is to not respond.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right now.
I'm talking about listen and learn
for yourself. Listen and learn, right? You're just sitting there telling you something and you're don't solve it. Don't solve that problem.
Yeah.
It's your time to just listen and learn what they're going through and mm-hmm. just make sure they hear it. Right. And the hardest thing you'll ever do is hold that space. Mm-hmm. I promise anyone, if you have an opportunity, give somebody that opportunity and just feel how hard it is for you not to respond.
Yeah. It's one of the hardest.
The hardest thing you'll ever do is not to respond to somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So on that listen and learn, I have like, I start with questions again, at least for me. Like, what skill do I not know that can potentially help me in this process? The second one is like, who do I know that went through something like this? Maybe they can give me some wisdom and some insight, mm-hmm. right? Or what skill do I know already that I'm not even using? Mm-hmm. And once I start tapping into those things and I just start writing it down, and then that's when I start really moving through this into doing what I learn. Because mm-hmm. oftentimes we experience a hard time and we act like we have no weapons that we can use. You're like, oh, I'm gonna struggle through this. I was like, no, dude, you have working out, you have meditation, you have journaling, and then you had this one book that was about X, Y, and Z. And you're like, oh, perfect. Mm-hmm. So we forget we have all these weapons that we can use to fight whatever dragon that's in front. And you're allowed to use past experiences where you've won through that hard time, and you can use that to what you have now.
Well, we get tunnel vision, right? Mm-hmm. At a stressful moment, you get tunnel vision. So we had this conversation. We just went through the NCAA tournament, and if you've ever played basketball, keep
chatting. I gotta go pee.
Keep talking. For it. So if you've ever had, we got our basketball team, our basketball group. You go to the small gym, you shoot in a basketball gym, there's this background, right? There's this background and it's easy to see in contrast. Mm-hmm. But if you have ever been to a big stadium,
mm-hmm.
There's no depth perception, you can't see, you can't understand what's going on. That's what it's hard to do what you learn. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do what you learn in that moment because you get this tunnel vision and all you can see mm-hmm. is everything else. So like for me, okay, do what you learn. Okay, what did I learn? I learned. That's hard. That's when you need somebody like you mm-hmm. who says, what do we work on, right? Mm-hmm. What is the thing? What's the problem? Like for me, you're like, your back's blown out. What is it? It's not your back. Mm-hmm. It's your hamstrings. Why? Because that's what you use. That's mm-hmm. what you do. So like for me, you need your village to remind you of what your things are because mm-hmm. you're never going to remember them at the time. Like Royce will never remember them at the time. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. I use Nick to remind me of what I should do. Hey, Nick, what should I be doing for my back? Mm-hmm. Why? Because my back hurts too bad for me to think about it. Mm-hmm. Like when people are in pain, you can think about nothing but the pain. Mm-hmm. You can't think about anything else. That's why, like, it's a unique thing when you hear the Jordan flu game.
Mm-hmm. What's Jordan flu game? Bro, I just watched.
It's okay. So we're going to tell it really quick.
Podcast, that's all I do. You guys are my news.
We're going to tell it really quick. So okay. The Jordan flu game, Michael Jordan was sick. Mm-hmm. He had the flu.
Oh.
The Jordan flu game.
I thought the guy whose name was Jordan flu.
No. Okay. There you go.
I thought he was being facetious when he asked.
I thought.
But he was I know this. I
okay,
know
good. Jordan right?
Jordan flu is a good name.
But the moment to say that guy, he was like falling apart, losing all of, and if you were dehydrated and had a fever like that, you know you're probably a little delirious, right? Mm, you're probably like, is that one basket or two? Mm-hmm. Nah, it doesn't matter. Shoot the one in the middle. Mm-hmm. To the impressive performance when you're in pain is even more impressive, mm-hmm. right? The guy, the Emmitt Smith separated my shoulder game. Mm-hmm. Played a whole half of a football game with a separated shoulder. When you play running back, that is not possible.
Right. Yeah.
Like, things that people just shouldn't be able to do that they do, and you're like, you learn, you remembered all the things you had to do in the most painful moment. So we just had this conversation between me and him. It was, hey, when you're in this tough time, you get to go home and show people how strong and how much progress you've got, how much practice you've done on yourself, because this is the test. Mm-hmm. You get to go home and take the test and show somebody if you can pass it or not. And if you don't pass it, this is going to be right there in front of them. And they're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Guess we need to practice.
That's why I like the village thing you're talking about. Like, my wife will always be like, when I'm going through a hard time, what would you tell your clients? And I'm like, damn. Right? That's like the easiest for her to use. Like, what would you tell your clients? And I was like, I don't tell them anything, okay? Mm-hmm. But that's not true. I tell them I help so many times. And then I just like, I like separate myself, and then I'm like, this is what you should do. And I was like, just do that. And I was like, whatever.
It's hard to take your own advice too, right?
He was like, we're not getting divorced. It's one more month, we're going to be together.
One more month. It's one more month. She's right.
Right?
It's not her fault she's right.
No, she's always right, dude, which is unreal.
Yeah, I think it's just to kind of touch on that. It is very tough when you're in the thick of it to do what you know. Mm-hmm. Right. And we know the self-care. We know we should be smashing the ball and this to help it feel better. Mm-hmm. But when you're at a level, we'll say 7, 8, 9, right, pain-wise, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, it's hard to have that perspective. Right. So the village is wonderful because the village always got perspective. They're not necessarily walking down the trail that you're walking down. That's
very true. Well, it's like the Brené Brown empathy, right?
Yeah.
Let me get down there with you. Yeah. Why? Yeah. I've been there before.
100%.
I know what it's like down here. I'll help you out. Why? Because you can't see the light out. You don't think that there's a way out of this hole. But if you have somebody in your village that's been there before, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. Let's just get down on the ground, and I'll do it with you sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's why, as coaches, it's really good to just – take class, right? You get to feel it. Why? Because I feel what you feel because I was just in it with you. I did those deadlifts too. I know your back's sore. So let's do our hamstrings. Why? Because they're going to make our back feel better. And it's ours, right? So as a coach, you set the example all of the ways by doing the stuff or not doing the stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an athlete, you see what your coach does.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think that's one of those silent things that whether they consciously know it or not, they're keeping track of. They're keeping score. Are you a people manager? Are you telling me to do what you think and know to be best? Or are you speaking from experience and are you telling me to do what it is that you do? And I think all the athletes at any level and at any gym, when you're telling them to do what you do, you speak to it in a different way. There's a different type of energy and it's received differently. And the likelihood that they'll execute on whatever it is that you gave them is much higher because I'm not just telling you to do it so that you can stroke my ego. Right. I'm telling you to do it because last week, a month ago, 6 months ago, I was exactly where you were at. Right. No light at the end of the tunnel, to use James's reference, and allowing you just to see like, hey, I was here. This is what was going on with me. This is what I did. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's similar to what you have going on, but yeah. This is what it looked like. This is what I did. This was the outcome.
Yeah.
Have you tried something similar?
And this is why, again, like, you guys are super powerful coaches, because you show up in times where it is hard. The best moments where you're actually coaching and leading are those moments where you go through a hard time and you still show up. You might not show up as your 100% self, but you show what you teach other people. And I think that's why it's so important. That's why it's also hard being a coach. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're like, I'm telling all of these guys to do X, Y, and Z. And if I don't do this, I'm just a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. You got to make a hard decision every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you got to make a difficult decision every day. And you got to do the stuff you tell people to do every day. Mm-hmm. And it's the best thing that you've ever done in your life, right? Is to do all the things you tell people to do. Right. You know, show them the receipts, right?
Mm-hmm. Because show them the receipts.
Show them the receipts, because again, you could say, let me show you what I did. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It didn't work. Mm-hmm. But let me show you what I did, and then this works. Sometimes you got to make a decision that's wrong too. Sometimes you just got to do the work and see if it works and doesn't work. Mm-hmm. That is actually my favorite thing about being a coach. You can tell the story about when you failed. That's the best story to tell. Don't tell the story about, oh man, it was so cool. You shouldn't have seen it. I did all the things I was supposed to do in my progressions, and I got to my goal of hitting a muscle up.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm going to be struggling for the next 6 months. Can you tell me something about, like, I'm going to be struggling? Yeah. Why? Because I'm going to be struggling. People need to know the struggle is real. And more times than likely, you're going to fail. That's the best thing that we should learn. And once you learn it, it's going to be like, okay.
Dude, that's so good. You're more relatable on hard times than your successful times. Mm-hmm. I've seen coaches, and you guys been with me for so long, that coaches that brag about their PRs, right? Their snatch PR, their mile PR. But really, it doesn't bring you closer to them. What makes you more connected to them is like, dude, I remember when I landed on that box. I remember when I fractured my foot, right? It's like those moments when you say those, that's what actually brings you closer. Not your accolades and your successes. Those will separate you from the people you're helping. The ones where you actually handle those adversities, those are the ones that bring you closer.
Somebody skins their knee on the box. Oh man, I remember I was there, right? You have to tell them that story. I remember when I was there, because otherwise they may never do it again. Mm-hmm. I've been there. Man, it's gonna be hurt. It, you know what? I'll see you next week and we'll just talk about it, right? And you know it, but you got to tell them you've been there. And look where I'm at now, right?
And I just show my scar.
I'm like, show the scar, right? The joke I used to tell people, it took me 10 years to get this mediocre. Mm. And they're like, you're mediocre? I'm like, I consider this mediocre, but it took me 10 years to get where I'm at, where I'm not in pain all the time with my shoulders and my back and my feet and my hands and all the things where, hey, I may be sore, but I move every day. And that was my goal, is to move every day, because your kids need to see you move every day. Your family needs to see you move every day. That's the example you're setting for all your people. Mm-hmm. Because if you're a coach, what are you not doing? Like, what's your day off? Sunday? What are you doing Sunday?
Sunday normally. Sunday, Saturdays, I consider them my day off. I try not to do things that I don't like to do.
Mm-hmm. Still,
I like to do this.
He does a whole workout. So, mm-hmm. He does an long workout. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not like a rest day, right?
Yeah.
So we get used to doing those things because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. So that's like a little
bit. I want to touch up on one thing because I forgot about it. How does food play a role into this?
Into terms of getting through hard times?
Yeah, getting through hard times.
It is, we'll just say it's pivotal, because usually when you're going through a hard time, one of the first, you're overloaded with cortisol, right? Mm-hmm. Stress hormone. When you're overloaded with stress, you don't have an appetite.
Yeah.
So it's usually one of the first things to go. Which is awful.
Detrimental, yeah.
Awful, because on the back end, A, you're not nourishing your body, you're low in energy. It's way easier to stay in, we'll say, the downward spiral that you're in.
Yeah.
So it is absolutely essential. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely essential. And like I said, it's one of the first things to go. And that's why when you're going through a hard time and you have a village around you, you have somebody who's just paying attention.
Yeah.
One of the questions they'll ask you is, did you eat? Or what did you eat?
I always tell my wife when she's mad, I was like, did you grab your Snickers? She doesn't eat Snickers, but so, it's like, did you go eat yet?
Did you eat something? So here's the funny thing. There's the other side. You lose your appetite. Mm-hmm. So what do you eat? You eat something that's like overindulgingly delicious because you just don't have an appetite, right? Mm-hmm. That's the day you go to In-N-Out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the week you go to In-N-Out. Mm-hmm. That's the month you go to In-N-Out. That's the depressed 6 months where you went to In-N-Out and Cane's and Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to the gym 2 days because you got Chick-fil-A yesterday. And, well, I'm going to get Chick-fil-A tonight too. Right. So, right? It becomes this compounding wave of you trying to make yourself feel better with food. And, hey, I get it, right? I'm food operated. I grew up in the South. That's what we do. We communicate over food.
Right.
But this is what I do. I know it. I anticipate it. I know it's coming. So Sundays is my gift of my food day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's the day I get to feel better about myself and I give myself that food to recover.
That's good.
In my solitude.
Yeah. I think that's the first, we forget about it, I think. And just the average person probably grabs a pint of ice cream, the In-N-Out, the Mickey D's, right? So, or the sodas, the alcohol, the cigarettes.
And not knowing why.
And not knowing why, I think those are like some of the biggest things that I see people go through when they're going through a hard time. And it's really hard to just grab lettuce and start eating lettuce. You know what I mean? So I don't know about you, but I'm a stress not eater.
Mm-mm.
Some people are stress eaters. Mm-hmm. I'm a stress like...
Stress eater here.
I'm a stress coffeeer. So I just chug coffee.
Mm-mm. Bro, coffee's the black water. It makes you feel, it makes you feel like you've eaten. All of a sudden, you crash on the back half of your day. Like, where did this come from?
See, I'm not that person.
Are you a stress eater?
I'm a stress eater. I will stress eat all day long. Mm-hmm. So, and we talked about this. Where yours is your traps. That's where you feel your pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where do I feel my pain is in my stomach.
Stomach, yeah.
So I'm a stress eater who feels pain in his stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a bad combo. What are you doing? Like, how do you have abs?
Yeah.
So, like me and Madison, we joked about this. How do you have abs? Because your stomach's so bad that you can't eat certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because you stress so bad, right? It's like this circle that's good and bad, but I stress eat. Mm-hmm. Then I probably should just be eating healthy if I'm stress eating because I'm going to constantly eat. And then I'm going to have anxiety in my stomach, shall I say. Cramping, all the things that you don't want.
Yeah.
That's the result.
What do? You stress eat? Stress not eat?
Stress not eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stress not eat for sure.
So if you're shredded, I'm like, dude, he's stressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a different type of shred. Like you just know you're like you're emaciated.
Yeah.
So
it's not full.
It's not full. Now I don't even really think about it. I still eat the same thing. I think that's why it's so important to just get into a routine and a habit that like if I'm stressed, I still eat my salads and my chicken breasts. Right. So it doesn't really change much for me, but I just have to remind myself that I have to. In fact, my go-to is just water. Mm-hmm. Yo, you stress, go drink some water. Mm-hmm. It's very powerful.
Very powerful. So there's a great documentary. What was it? Jelly Rolls documentary. Have you seen that?
This is a great documentary we were talking about. Normally, documentaries are negative.
No, such a good documentary, right? Jelly Roll.
So that was a different tonality.
Different. But he is a person who deals with anxiety and stress.
Yeah.
His therapist said, you know what you need to do? If you feel stress and anxiety and you don't feel like you can get out of bed and do anything, just go downstairs and drink some water.
Bam.
Just do that.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, then go outside and take a walk. And if you can do that, then go take a shower. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, take the next step, right? And sometimes you need to have the steps for you and somebody may need to give them to you like, hey, you're a person who needs to go read. Mm-hmm. Then you need to go meditate. Then you need to go drink some water. Then you need to take a shower. Then you need to go take a walk. And then after that, you tell me how you feel. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I feel great. So that's what I do with a lot of my athletes.
Yeah.
I don't care how you feel. You just wake up and you come in and see me every morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll make you feel better. Emotionally, physically, moving is going to make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Communicating is going to help you feel better. Being in a group of your people is going to make you feel better.
Yeah.
And if you get to tell me how you feel, I get to help you to give you a few things that you can work on today. And man, I bet that's the first thing you can do. So I always don't even make a decision. Mm-hmm. The decision is just wake up and come in here. Mm-hmm.
So let's turn this into a Royce Huberman podcast real quick.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Love it. Now you have to... So let's just take a look at water just in general. Water is just very basic, correct? Like most mm-hmm. sodas are very acidic. A lot of stuff is very, very acidic. When you have that negative Karen, what's the first thing we tell people? Like, oh, that Karen girl? She's what? Like she's, it starts with a T. She's toxic, right? Mm-hmm. Like that girl is toxic. Mm,
I see where you're going.
And a lot of times when we are in these negative spiral emotions, your anger, you're actually creating that internally. So just by drinking water, not coffee, water, you actually reduce the acidity inside your body. And then just that kind of creates that little, that small impact of you getting back to just being stable and being neutral.
Homeostasis.
So if you guys are going through a hard time, drink water really quick. That's just one element of many elements that we talked about. But I wanted to make sure we get that because I think people forget that healthy foods can bring you back to a place where you're clear, a place where you can solve problems, a place where you can ask actually really good questions.
Well, right? It's funny because when you think about things like 75 hard, mm-hmm. it may seem like the most simple thing.
Drink water.
But it's drink water. Mm-hmm. And how many days can you survive? Days. And how many days will you survive without water?
Not that long, bro. Most people not that long, but there's like a weird.
It's like 4 days. Like
4 to 7. There's a weird study.
That you can make it, right? Yeah. But like, can you perform?
Mm-mm. I don't think so. I wouldn't be able to do my MERS.
You couldn't do it, right? How much coffee? You could survive on coffee, but eventually you would just shrivel up and not be able to function. Your brain won't function, mm-hmm. right? Electricity functions with lubrication and water, right? Mm-hmm. So,
gosh, we're using lubrication, right? Toxicity.
It carries a current, right? If your things aren't firing, right? it is not going to work. So, I love the simple things about that 75 hard has a water little piece of the habit, and it's a habit, right? Yeah. Keeps you moving. So, that's like a one of my favorite little things inside 75 hard. You know, I don't love it, but mm-hmm. it's okay. A habit.
Another, just to kind of touch on what you said, in terms of toxic and toxicity within the body and drinking water to help with the toxicity, it is, we're in the fitness world, right? We work out a lot. Mm-hmm. We build up a lot of lactic acid and metabolic waste, exactly. The stuff that makes knots within your system. If you have too much of an accumulation of lactic acid and metabolic waste, your body can't process it efficiently, right? Mm-hmm. And if it can't process it efficiently, then you are literally toxic. Your body is attacking
those
itself.
People are toxic too, ooh, in general,
right? So drinking water helps circulate mm-hmm. the lactic acid metabolic waste within your system, helps circulate some of the toxic stuff so that way your body can process it and get it out, along with helping electrical waves to the brain.
I love it. Okay, so let's go one more level because I forgot about this. Tiredness, mm-hmm. sleep. How important is this part going through a hard time? I forgot to touch up on it.
I think the question there is what, helping to identify what type of tired you are. Because there's physically tired, there's mentally tired, there's emotionally tired, there's spiritually tired.
Okay.
Because everybody thinks when I'm tired, cool, let me go to sleep. But have you ever been tired? You went to sleep, you woke up, you're still tired.
Still tired.
Wrong kind of tired.
Mm-hmm.
You identified the wrong one.
Yeah, you're like, oh no, I wasn't that type of tired. Exactly. So it's funny because depending mm-hmm. on who you are in your life and the job you work, mm-hmm. you might not get 3 cycles every night, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And we talk about cycles, REM cycles, those 90-minute mm-hmm. cycles. If you don't get 3 of those a night, I don't even want to talk to you the next day because you're not going to be able to perform.
That's 4.5 hours of sleep, in case you were wondering.
Like, and that is like so barely.
That's like physical tired.
Physical tired, right? But if you're the person who wakes up and runs all day long, and what I mean by runs all day, if you have to look at your phone and people are waiting for you to make decisions for them mm-hmm. all day long, mm-hmm. hey, this guy needs this yacht to be sent here. Okay, send him this plane. Send him here. Send him here. Mm-hmm. Send him here. Send him here. If you have to do that all day long, if you get to a place like the gym and you have to make decisions on what you mm-hmm. need to do at EOS or Gold's or whatever those gyms. Should I use this machine for 12 reps or this machine for 8 reps or this machine for – oh, I can't make any more decisions.
Decision fatigue.
But that's where group fitness and CrossFit really works out for people, because come in. Don't worry. You don't have to make any more decisions. Yeah. I got you. Mm-hmm. I'll make all the decisions. I will tell you what to do with your body. I will tell you how to warm up, tell you how to cool down. I'll tell you when it's time to leave.
Yeah.
I'll even tell you what to go eat tonight if you want me to. Mm-hmm. That's why group fitness works so bad, because most people who are humans make decisions all day long, and they are done making decisions at a certain point in their day. Sometimes 2:30 in the afternoon, but sometimes it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. I think you and Bristow talked about that.
Yeah.
Did I talk about a lot of stuff? but then there's other moments where you sleep like 3 or 4 or 5 hours, which is not enough. But then you wake up and you're like, let's go. Yeah. I want to like touch up on that. So that's like, I think that's why I'm so pro morning routine, because most people wake up and then the first 5 things they got to do is all stress induced. Mm-hmm. But what if your first 5 things that you do for yourself all energize you? It changes the outcome in terms of sleep. You actually look forward to wake up in the morning instead of dreading it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you start getting the mental fatigue. And I've been in those situations before. It's like, guys, I need my first hour. Like if I'm just like dragging problems, dragging, and then like one self, I'm screwed. Mm-hmm. If so, that's my 7 days look like.
So here's a funny thing. If there's the person who's dragging to go to work, 3 a.m. we're going to vacation. They will be up and ready to go.
Bright eyed and bushy.
You've never seen someone get ready. They need something that fulfills them more. They need to want to go to where they're going, right? Mm-hmm. And that'll be, if you're dragging every morning, it tells me about where you're going.
Oh, what I mean is dragging, like a dragon problem. Sorry, not like dragon. Like I'm fighting dragons. Like I'm fighting problems. I'm sorry, I'm a nerd. He was using horse grips.
Oh my God.
So I guess I could throw a dragon.
These guys talking about dragons.
Yeah, this guy went, he's too analytical. Do you see that?
Dragons. I was with you. I was thinking he was dragging.
But still, I am dragging because I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So one of those elements of people, why they're not getting good sleep, is maybe because they don't have those 3 or 4 things that they need to do for themselves. And they're different. It could be exercise. It could be meditation. It could be journaling, right? It could be praying, whatever that is. Like, I think if you put that in the front, you're going to get some serious sleep because, you're hitting that snooze button because you don't want to do that first thing. Mm-hmm. So something that for the audience that are grasping this, like if you're feel like you're getting 7 hours of sleep and you still feel tired, ask yourself, what are the first 5 things you're doing for yourself? Mm-hmm. And if it's email, bills, your kids' clothes or poop, I don't know, right? Maybe altering that first 5 things can allow you to actually be able to handle this.
Mm-hmm. Make the first thing you do in the morning for you. Mm-hmm. If you 5 things may be a lot.
That's true. Sorry, I'm spoiled.
The first thing you do. And that might be even hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be like, what? I have to wake my husband up. Why? Because he can't wake up. I have to wake my kids up.
Yeah.
You're carrying around a lot of people's stuff. If you have to get everyone up in your house, I have to make breakfast. I have to make coffee. I have to. What do you get to do?
Mm-hmm. Coffee's one of my favorite parts.
So this is something my wife does, and I love that she does it. It's a part of her routine. If she's going somewhere, sometimes she has to wake up an hour and a half early. Mm-hmm. She does coffee for her. She sits and has that time for her in the morning. She, used to do a lot of reading in the morning because that was the time she had. She put front loaded her time because she knew what she was going to get herself into. Man, that was the way to do it. When you have the time to do it, when you go to work at 7 o'clock, you can do that. When you work at 5 a.m., you have to figure out a different something, right? Mm-hmm. So
your one thing has to be real impactful.
Real impactful. It needs to be easy. It might just be my easy thing is take 10 minutes of solitude for myself. Mm. That's the only thing I can do in the morning at 4 a.m.
So
20-minute meditation, make my bed.
Right. Yeah, mine's changed. Yours changed too. Mm-hmm. Like now it's just like 3 things for me. Mm-hmm. Coffee, meditation, read. Like those are like my big 3. If I can do those, I'm a
20-minute meditation, make my bed, cold shower.
Yeah.
He said hard.
All right, really quick. So for the audience that's been watching this for this long so far, I'm going to give you guys the four things that you need to optimize for that's going to keep you super shredded and super healthy and super, like, you're going to seem like you never have a hard time. I'm going to share that. And I think this is, like, going to be a big thing. I think I texted the coaches. And the acronym is HALT, okay? H stands for hungry. So if you can optimize to never feeling hungry by drinking water, eating your stuff, you're going to be good. The second one is angry, right? So if you can optimize to never feel angry by meditating, reflecting, asking the right questions, you're gonna do pretty cool, amazing things. The next one is L, which is lonely. Have yourself a village that you feel like you're supported with. You don't feel lonely. You're not gonna make those bad decisions. And then the last one is, it starts with a T.
Oh my gosh.
Tired. I almost messed that up.
We just went there with sleep, right? Unbelievable.
So if you can optimize those four pieces in your life, you are going to be significantly equipped to handle hard times. And for the audience that thinks we never have hard times, it's because we've optimized that. And actually, when we're teaching you how to snatch and how to do a pull-up and how to clean, we're also, if you guys notice, we're trying to pepper in how you handle these four things: hunger, angry, lonely, tired. If Nick harasses you about those things, it's because he wants you to be optimized to be able to live an amazing and over, like, a holistic life. If James is asking you about things you do for, in terms of just like the village side, like, who's your support group? It's because he's trying to optimize for your life. So, like, that's how I remember it. HALT. And that's, like, the most successful weight loss clients, the most successful weight gain clients in terms of muscle, you've probably adjusted those four areas in some form.
Mm-hmm.
One, optimizing for one, game changer. Optimizing two, game changer. Three, four, it's over.
It's a process, though.
It is a process to learn all that, yeah.
I think, just to touch up on one of them, I think lonely. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's really nice to have a village, but if you feel lonely,
mm-hmm.
it's because you're in bad company.
That's true, yeah.
Right?
We've all been into situations where we feel like we're in a spot, but then you're like, I still feel lonely. It's because you're not in the right company.
So, and the funny thing about it is you can feel lonely in a room full of people, right? But you can feel loved and supported from thousands of miles away.
That's true, yeah.
Right? So, yeah,
for sure.
It doesn't matter if your village is in your room or, you know, biggest part of my village that, you know, she knows she is my mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
She knows it. When I call my mom at 4 a.m. Pacific time, 7 a.m. East Coast time, she's like, that's interesting. It's mm-hmm. really early mm-hmm. on the West Coast.
Yeah. I
definitely need to pick up this phone call. Mm-hmm. This is a really good conversation. And she gives me space.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows what's going on without saying anything. And so all good. She's there to do is listen.
Heard, yeah.
And repeat what's going on. And give me an opportunity to tell her something. But other than that, your village is there to do that for you, whether it's on a phone or a text. You mm-hmm. can be there for somebody by letting them know that you're there for them. You don't have to be in the room.
I love it. Dude, we got to start smashing through this. Otherwise, I'm going to get hungry. And then I'm going to be having a hard time talking. Okay? All right. So the next one is, once you do what you learn, we just hammered that. Mm-hmm. We get back and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times when people go through suffering, they just stop. They're just like, I don't want to get that next heartbreak,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't want to, like, lose my house. Like, I think that creates, I think, more suffering.
Mm-hmm.
When do you know you should get back at it again?
Immediately. I have a story for this. Can I
go for it?
Oh, okay. So I had a lady in one of my classes. She, we were doing box jumps, And I gave her the cue of, if you stand really close to the box, it's really hard to create vertical. It takes way more energy to create vertical. If you step one step back from the box, it's way easier to carry on top of the box than it is to create vertical. And she went with me on it. And halfway through the workout, she was like, this is the most box jumps I've ever done.
Yeah.
And I was like, perfect. Now I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
Right? You're mad confident.
Yeah.
We're going to fuck you up a little bit. Right? So then we turned the box and made it higher and made her get on the, made her go down, made it ultimately a little bit higher for her.
Yeah.
And so then all of her demons and stuff starts coming back up in her head. And I was like, no, this is perfect. This is where we want to be.
Yeah.
Ultimately, she jumps, right?
Yeah.
She jumps. She makes it up with one foot.
Yeah.
She doesn't make it up with the other foot. Luckily, it was a little soft box, so she like fell off to the side. And she was like, that's exactly what I was worried was going to happen. I was like, cool, that's why it happened. Yeah. I was like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build your confidence back up again. We're going to turn this on the low side, and we're going to get you to jump on it a few times.
Beautiful.
Right? So as soon as you fall off the horse, right, what do they tell you to do? You have to get back on it, because the longer it takes you to get back on it, the more of a Mount Everest it appears to be mentally and emotionally.
Yes, they turn one small event in their life and they turn it into this giant mountain. Mm-hmm. We've all seen that one person who's like, oh, I scraped my knee so I don't jump. I was like, when? How long ago?
Oh, when
7
I was 3.
Years ago?
Yeah.
When I was 350 pounds and I was like, dude, let's try it again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's it. Yeah. Immediately, as fast as you possibly can, go through all those steps, learn, do all the new learning thing, and then do it again. Otherwise, it's just gonna, man, it's a different form of suffering.
And I think there's something that Nick that highlighted there that I always prepare people for. You will fail again. You will fail again. We'll be right here for that. And then we'll look at each other and say, was that that bad? No, that wasn't that bad. Guess what? Let's go do it again, right?
Yeah.
That is your job as a coach is to prepare people for failure.
It's like desensitizing them to
it. Yeah, and just let them know it'll happen. Guess what? Every time it happens, it's a little easier. It's a little easier to the point where you don't focus on failure. You only focus on the success. So I was watching something with my wife, and I was watching something separate, but she was watching a show, and it was a surf show. And they were meditating before she went out and did something. And he said, if you can't visualize it, you'll never be able to do it.
Sometimes they visualize the worst. I was like, no, imagine the other way.
That's what happens, though. You visualize the worst, and that's what you go do.
Yep,
you don't visualize the good thing. Exactly. You never visualize the good thing. Visualize success. That's what you go do, right? Yeah. That is my favorite thing about sports. And as an athlete, and the nights before, I hated the nights before a game because I got no sleep. Mm-hmm. All I did was think about the game in a good way. Mm-hmm. I loved it. As an athlete, I was not ever nervous.
Yeah,
I was always visualizing fun, and I never recognized that is a skill or something I was doing. But I was always visualizing.
Yeah.
Parents made me nervous. The game didn't make me nervous. So that was something that I always think about is visualize good stuff and tell people.
I got to do this. So I had a client that was doing, we have him on a deadlift protocol where we're creating linear jumps to 10%, 5%, right? And then we have to max out after 6 weeks. And he was like, Royce, I had a dream that I lifted 405 pounds. And then I was like, dude, congratulations. You did the first rep out of 1,000 that you need to do first, but you did the most important rep, which is you've imagined it to be correct and you can do it.
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
And he's like, so you mean I got to dream it 100 more times? And I was like, probably 1,000.
1,000, just keep going.
Right? Mm-hmm. But that dream is actually sometimes the most important rep that you'll do. You'll want to visualize a better outcome. Mm-hmm. And that's hard for people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they only remember the problems. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's so important to have a coach. To be like, oh, cool, let's just jump it down. Let's make this easier. And then let's ramp it back up. Mm-hmm. And then boom, now they visualized one extra rep again.
Well, it's easy to remember the pain you've already experienced.
Right.
It's hard to visualize something you've never done.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you've seen somebody else do it doesn't mean you can do it. But pain, like the sense of taste and smell, ooh, that will bring back a memory like nobody's business, right?
Right.
So that's how we remember things, through the pain. You never remember, you you can't remember the past or the future, right? You wish you could. If someone would be able to give you the gift mm-hmm. of a memory of something that you were going to do in the future, you would be yeah. always successful.
The mm-hmm. only way you can remember the future is if you have a coach that's already been there. Mm-hmm. And then they just give you a little bit of hint of what that's like. Mm-hmm. And what that's like is like their eyes. They're like, oh, you got this.
Yeah, it's confidence.
Oh, yeah. Like they can, they feel that inner sense of confidence from you, and you're like, whew, whew, I could do it.
Got another story.
Yeah. Like, cause the coach is just so relaxed. You're just so relaxed, right? So that's why I love fitness. The best place, if you want to get really go through hard times and you want to train it habitually, go work out mm-hmm. and go work out so hard that you can possibly fail. Mm-hmm. And then you have a coach that can pull you back. Mm-hmm. And understand, or let you suffer a little bit, right?
Or observe how you interact with that failure. So it's we had handstand pushups this week, right? Mm-hmm. I love handstand pushups. I love whenever there's an
What'd
opportunity.
You get?
Huh?
What'd you get? How many rounds?
I did it wrong. You don't even know what I did. I was extra.
It was hard.
It was fine.
Yeah.
This is how I knew what was going on with him that day.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, let's go back to next round. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I did 16 rounds.
Oh, that's awesome. I did 10, but I did.
Yeah.
I did the same amount of up down bar muscle ups as I did handstand push ups.
That's the only one that I beat Nick on. That's why I pointed it out, because it was all gymnastics. So I'm like,
yeah.
You got to take them where you win, bro.
100%.
Yo, give me some props over here. I need to get like my
visualized.
I think
I know where this story's going 100%.
To. Okay, give me your story. Though.
So I love getting people inverted, right?
Yeah.
And we always have the progression for you don't have to. But I always try to just lovingly push them towards just at least giving me a wall walk,
yeah.
right? And so there's an athlete, shout out Christina. She's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal athlete,
yeah.
way more capable than she perceives herself to be.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
handstands is been a fucking thing. But I'm just like, I got this.
Yeah.
It's fine. And you could see every time we interact in relation to handstands, she's like really up here. And I'm like, no, it's fine. You got it. And she's like –
She's created that mountain.
She's
for
like,
a long
I,
time.
I got it. I was like, yeah, you got yeah. it. And so what we did is we had her start out, we brought the ground up to her head. So we had her start out with three mats. I'm like, okay, cool. We know
Which
you
is
can
like
do,
this, by the way.
Right? Exactly.
But
exactly.
It gives people serious confidence. You're like, I can do it.
Exactly. That's exactly what it does. And that's mm-hmm. the exact reason I do it. Right? So it's like, cool. I know you're more than capable. You don't know you're capable. Let's make it really easy for you. Once you do some of the easy ones, you're like, oh. Okay, cool. Now I'm feeling kind of confident in it. And I looked at her halfway through the workout and I was like, okay, cool. When you're feeling confident enough, take away a mat. Because the technique is all there for you to be able to execute that how you're supposed to execute it. You just gotta make sure your confidence is where it needs to be.
So good.
And halfway through the workout, I look over, she had thrown it off to the side and she was gearing herself up, and then she did it. And then she did it. And then she did it.
Yeah.
And she finished out the workout with two ab mats as opposed to three. Right?
Bam.
So building the confidence, giving you the space to fail, and giving you the space to be able to figure out how you execute what it is that you execute, but understanding I know you're more than capable of doing it. And so me not giving you a reaction, me not giving you anything else other than I'm just going to give you the confidence in this that you can't perceive for yourself in this moment because you've made it Everest. Like this is a bunny hill. Can we get over this bunny hill? Because then we can teach you how to freestand handstand or freestand handstand pushups or handstand walk. Like this is a little molehill.
It's that moment where, you can do it. And then everybody else in the room is like, and you're like,
oh, shit.
Oh, wait. Oh, me? Oh, I can do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you all think I can do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, am I supposed to think I can do it now too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So
I got it.
Walk into it.
I got it, right? And it's so funny because it's little things. So a small thing on that one, it had to be the shoes.
Mm-hmm.
She got new shoes.
Okay. Nice.
Not related to handstand pushups at all, right?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
But it's confidence, right? Mm-hmm. You put on your favorite pair of shoes before you go out, right? Benny DeJet Rodriguez from The Sandlot, mm-hmm. he got his new pair of PF Flyers before he was going to go do something, right? Confidence is a crazy thing.
Yeah.
The Jordan, before every game, what did he do?
Jordan flu?
No.
My boy?
Do you remember what was his thing? brand new pair of shoes every day.
Oh, yeah.
Every game. Confidence, these are brand new shoes. Mm-hmm. Do anything in a brand new pair of shoes. Confidence, right?
Yeah.
It's a little, the smallest thing that you could never like physically have is huge to mm-hmm. so many people, because if you've grown up and no one's ever given you confidence, you don't even know what it looks like. You don't even know how you feel uncomfortable having confidence. You're like, mm-hmm. oh, I can't yeah. be, can I be confident? You can be confident. Are you sure? Yes, you can be confident. Okay, yeah. I'm good. But if you see someone who's so confident, you believe in them. You believe mm-hmm. whatever they're doing, you can do yeah. now too. You're like, oh, he's so confident, I can do it.
Yeah.
Perfect, right? I think as coaches, that's your job, is to be confident in them, that they believe they can do it, and becomes infectious, mm-hmm. that everyone believes they can do it. And then you have a whole room full of people who think that they're capable of doing anything.
And everybody's right. pushing themselves. And then it's, you don't really have to do anything. The environment mm-hmm. takes care of itself. I just got to make sure if anybody's dragging along, we got to tune yeah. you up, get you back. But it's a collective organism. It'll take care of itself.
It's so good. So, man, you guys are just throwing bombs. This is too much stimulus. Yeah. I'm like wobbly because I want to just add this. This could be a trap if we have two coaches bouncing back and forth, because my brain is just like, oh my gosh. Okay. So anyways, the moments where I have the most tear eyes, like, you know, when I start crying a little bit, it's not when they get their first handstand.
Mm-hmm.
It's not when they get their first deadlift. It's not when they get their first muscle up. It's the moment when they say to themselves, I think I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, shit.
Like, they've grown up.
Right? They're like, oh, I did it. That mm-hmm. was my whole job. The whole thing. It's just to get them to have that one single narrative to just like, I think I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, that's why you guys are so impressive in what you guys do in building your classes. Not only building your class, but getting your athletes to get results.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you'll have and you'll create those moments where internally you don't hear it, but you can see it,
mm-hmm.
that they say, I think I could do it. And then that's when you're just like,
decision moments, dopamine.
My job's done here. I'm just going to hit the clock. I'll see you guys in a little bit. If you can do that as a coach, create that event where you can get them to say, I think I could do it.
Well, and it's, you no longer have to push them.
Nope.
You just, okay,
mm-hmm.
guide them, right? Just keep them in the reins. Just, I want to make sure you don't do anything too crazy,
mm-hmm.
but actually I'm okay with it,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. I would love to have a person that I almost have to pull back
mm-hmm.
than the person I have to push.
Because
mm-hmm. once I have to push you, I almost don't want to push you too hard, because you push somebody over the edge and they're not ready. Mm-hmm. But, oh, perfect. Are you ready to go? Perfect. That's what I'm ready for.
So good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to number six.
Bring it home.
Number seven. Let's bring this thing home. Enjoy the view. This is where I need coaching. Because I never enjoy the view.
I'm going to give you an opportunity it right now, though.
So I need coaching. I was like, how long should I be enjoying this view? And is there a process to enjoy the view? Because I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get to the milestone and I'm like, let's go to the next one. Let's go to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So give me some coaching on this, because I think it can be some of the most important times if you do it right, but it can also be one of the most depressive times if you don't truly enjoy that moment. Because
you built it up to be something yeah. that it can never satiate within you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is some of my greatest falls is where I'm in this space of enjoying the view. We've talked about it.
See where you go.
Okay, so coach me through this, because
yeah. you ready?
But I might, yeah, there's some people that do enjoy the view, but then I know there's somebody in this podcast that's listening that
so
never enjoys the view.
We're getting ready to come to the top of the mountain, right? And yep. you know, the mountain could be whatever you want. The joke is, there's plenty of people on Everest who were highly motivated mm-hmm. who are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Who couldn't enjoy? How many times did they look back and enjoy that view?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Only looked up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And died for it.
Yeah.
You're getting ready to come to your 1,000 Murph milestone.
Mm-hmm.
What day is it? You know when it's
986 today.
Damn, so close. Awesome. You're 14 days yeah. away.
It's 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, what are you going to do with that hour that you've been taken away from your family? Are you going to give it back to them?
For sure, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that hour with them? Are you just going to sit around with them?
No. Are you talking about my last Murph?
You know, when you're done your 1,000th Murph, then the 1,001st day, when you don't have to do a Murph, yeah. Yeah. You can give somebody. So this is what I'm going to do. I would love for you to give that time back to your family, but just don't give it as time. Give it as time and energy. You put a lot of time and energy into doing Murph. Mm-hmm. How much energy do you put into doing Murph? 300 reps plus right. 2 more miles. You right. can give that energy to your son. It's That's true. What yeah. I would tell you to enjoy the view because you've done all this work
right.
to go and be able to be prepared to give your family energy. It's not, okay, now I get to sit at home and relax for an hour. Mm-hmm. Your wife just has watched you do the hardest thing that people have never done in their life mm-hmm. for 1,000 days in a row. You can go home and be emotionally intelligent. Yeah. And you can be right there fulfilled enough to say, hey, what do you need me to do? Do you need me to do the laundry? Do you need me to take our son to school? What do you need me to do for you? Because I've been doing this for 1,000 days for me.
So good.
So that would be a way that I give somebody an opportunity to just redirect the energy.
Yeah.
Right? This is where you, this is the view, right? You did 100 days of burpees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are moments. That's why I have you guys here, yeah. just to remind me. It's like, bro, you're so fit that you can actually relax and actually play with your kids. Mm-hmm. You could actually hike with your wife. You can do extra things that you've created for yourself. That's enjoying the view, right? You've built something so well. Now you got to learn how to use it in a way that it serves the village, mm-hmm. right? Your circle. Because you're right, dude. There were so many events where like, I can't, I gotta go do Murph.
Gotta go do Murph.
Right, right. now, I can't go to the dinosaur park. Yeah. I gotta do Murph.
You give up stuff, right? But eventually you get to give it back. Mm. You get to give that energy back.
So he's focused on the end of it, right?
Yeah.
So I wanna take it a little bit different direction because I love that he focused on the end. That's why I wanted to see where he was gonna go, so I can make sure I was gonna
send me separate direction, invoices. Right?
My question, I have 2 questions. First question is, what have you been doing in your 900 and how many?
86.
986 Murphs. What have you been doing daily to enjoy the process?
Oh, I've been learning. A podcast. Like YouTube's books. I've probably read so many books because of, I've listened to so many books listen because of those Murphs. Mm-hmm. Right. So you asking me that now I can cultivate that knowledge into that extra hour. Mm-hmm. I can use that, what I've learned. Cause that's an hour. I can do a lot in an hour. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, oh, I learned that. Now maybe I can build this part of my business. Mm-hmm. Right, or I can create this for my athlete.
Because you learned it while you were doing pull-ups, and or pull-ups, push-ups, and air squats.
Yeah.
What if you can act on it while you're not?
Mm.
So you've accumulated knowledge from books. That's how you've enjoyed the view of your feet thus far, right? Right. How else?
I mean, I've built my stamina to be able to probably do particular things. You know, I talked about it. I was like, maybe this is an opportunity for me to actually train to do something that my body can actually do. Mm-hmm. Maybe a marathon. Mm-hmm. Maybe an Ironman. Maybe I can go for a world record pull-up because I probably built the capacity to do it, mm-hmm. right? But now it doesn't have to be our Murphs mm-hmm. to train that way. It just seems... Right. So like there's other places where I can take that capacity and then use it for something else for sure.
Give me one more. What else have you done to enjoy the view? What else have you done to enjoy the process thus far?
I brought some people with me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if Shulin and Nastasha are doing Murphs 5 days a week mm-hmm. in their own version, of mm-hmm. course. Right. You know, I've used little lessons in there where I apply it into talks, you know, and it's there's those lessons where I've used.
So all of these things have helped you accumulate enjoying the view or the process, right? Mm-hmm. How can you make it even better over the next 14 days? How can you take it up a level? How can you enjoy it even more?
I can make it harder. Sometimes when I make them harder, I actually enjoy them more because mm-hmm. it's not mundane. It's different. Mm-hmm. I can bring someone with. Mm-hmm. It's always fun when someone wants to participate, right? Can having that village. Something? Yeah.
Reflect over the videos. Because I know a lot of your videos have like literally just sit and watch a montage of them. You can make them 5 to 10 seconds long. You have 986 videos of you doing Murph, right? And you can look at where you were in that in life, how small Lucas was, how much he's grown, you and Tara have looked different.
Yeah. That part right there.
Right? Yeah, like so when I think of enjoying the view, right? The cameras had the view of you for when you were doing your Murphs in Michigan, when you were doing your Murphs wherever you were doing them, right? When we were doing them in Sedona.
Yeah.
Right? So you have all that data. A good way to enjoy the view is...
Yeah, just look at the data. Just look at the view.
Just look at the data. View. Look at the view. You literally have it.
You guys are seeing some live action coaching right now where I'm just like, my cortisol is just leaving my body. Did my traps go down? Mm-hmm. Just a few inches?
You don't look like Michelangelo.
Okay.
Anymore. So here's... you said that and awesome. It made me think of that's this. How old's your son? Mm-hmm.
6.
How many years have you been doing Murph?
Mm-hmm.
This cat. Yeah, I think I have Murph with him when he was just like crawling.
Exactly. You've been doing Murph with him.
Yeah.
For half of his entire life. Mm-hmm. That's probably the more.
Yeah.
That's probably the most habitual thing in his life
that he's seen
from you. Yeah. So on day 1001,
bringing him with.
Where are we doing Murph? Well, I'm just gonna spend this time with you, Lucas. What are we going to do?
Then Lucas is going to
want to do Murph. He's going to want to do something, right? But Dad, we normally go do this for us, he's right? You've talked about that. But talked about the lessons. Why do you do Murph? To take care of your body. Why do you talk to people? To communicate, connect, right? So he's going to do all these things that he's learned from Murph, not because he knew that you were going to go do 1,000 Murph. Did he care that you were doing Murph 1,000 times?
No, he just
Because you
thinks,
weren't.
Yeah.
That wasn't the plan, right? He just said, hey, it's Sunday. I get to go do Murph with my dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let's do squats and push-ups. Mm-hmm. And it's the most common thing that you do with him is workout.
That's so good.
So, yeah, just enjoy. So enjoy the view of your scope of doing it for 1,000 days because that view has changed every day.
Right, yeah.
It's changed every day. Look at the very first video. Everything's going to be different than the very first video.
That's chunks McGunks, dog. Yeah, but so I just to touch up on it, because this is some things. So one, actually enjoy the view. Look at the past. Look at the analytics. Look how much time you've spent. And then James was like, use that hour that you were using and then do it to serve your family, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's like, those are some massive ways, because I normally just go into the next mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a travesty because I've done that multiple. You guys have seen me do this.
We just learned. It's hard to enjoy the view because you don't know how to look at it.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
Don't.
Yeah. When you're on the top of Everest, you don't know how to look at it, right? Mm-hmm. You're looking at the flag.
Yeah.
Turn around. Right? Turn around, right? Yeah. It's sometimes it's hard to tell, you know, where you've been because you never look back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what we're designed to do.
It's not a look back and emotion filled, right? Don't fill it with negativity. Just appreciate where you've come from.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of enjoying the view in whatever endeavor you have, right? Whether it be an entrepreneur, whether it be working in corporate America, whether it be in fitness, a part of being able to find pleasure and also sustainability or longevity in it is you have to turn around sometimes. Like I have to remind myself in my fitness journey that I've been 300 pounds,
right?
That I've lost 100 pounds. Yeah. Not a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Right. So when I am feeling low or on my confidence isn't where it needs to be in the fitness realm, I just have to remind myself where I've come from. And how I do that is go through old photos on my phone.
That's
right.
The one.
Enjoy the view.
I gotta go back to my 7,500 photos. Now.
That's why we tell people to take pictures.
Yeah.
It's not for today.
Nope.
It's not for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's not for the 75th day. It's for the day that you can't figure out how to enjoy the view.
Damn, James. It's like you're not taking that photo for today. You're taking that photo for the event that you know you're gonna get. You're gonna go through a hard time.
Mm-hmm. No, you're gonna.
You're
get
gonna
there.
Be like, how come I can't do a muscle up? Scroll back 350 pounds. You're like, oh my gosh, that guy would kill to do
I
one pull
when
up.
I couldn't do a pull up.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, gold.
So that's so the other little piece of that is use your village.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bring your village.
Bring your village everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you guys are
bring it home,
a
Royce.
Therapy session,
last
trauma
one.
Session, right? Okay, so last one. But then, how long? If I just stay on Mount Everest forever, I can die if I just stay there.
Mm-hmm.
When is it the right time to just be like, go for the next? Now you're ready. When do you think? What's your time frame? I mean, I think everybody has their own time frames. How long should I be chilling on that mountain?
Before you go for the next mountain or before you help somebody else up the mountain?
Both.
Ooh. So I think that there's a question that could possibly, maybe you need to help somebody else before you step to the next mountain.
Yeah.
That's your thing. You don't get it, right? You can't enjoy the view. You got to help somebody else. And then you can go do the next thing, right? Uh-huh. So this would be, you know, if I was to give it to you. Hey, go figure out how to enjoy the view with your family. Mm-hmm. And then maybe help your wife mm-hmm. to enjoy her view.
Yeah.
And help her to get where you got. Mm-hmm. And then you can maybe ask her, hey, what do you think I should do next?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
You never know. It could be a tandem thing.
So check this out. You guys are just giving me some revelation bombs.
You gotta hang out with us more. That's all I gotta say.
That's why we're doing this. Faux show. So, when you asked that question, I was like, I'm just gonna go to the next mountain. I was like, but probably, now that I think of it, how can I help someone get to the next mountain?
How can you be of service? What are the things that you've learned, the intangibles
in that process
that you can help?
Which is exactly kind of what this is, right? I wrote it down, but I never even like conceptualized it. Because if I go to the next mountain, that gap is going to be so far. It's like tandem mountain climbing. Mm-hmm. Who's going to help me mm-hmm. in the moment that I like?
That you stumble.
That I stumble. Mm-hmm. So it's almost, I would, now that I think of it, if I was to advise myself, help someone get to that next mountain mm-hmm. and then climb the next one mm-hmm. and then help someone. So it's like, it's just like you're tandeming mm-hmm. all day. Mm-hmm. So it solves the issue of like, use what you've learned. Right? Mm-hmm. Like enjoy the past and then just keep going.
Well, it's like in a simple way, stories get passed on through words and experiences.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's your memory is people telling the story of you.
Okay.
Do you remember the story of Royce doing 1,000 Murphs by himself? No, I wasn't there.
So but which one of you guys are going to do 1,000? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Maybe but if you take everyone, this on your next one, right?
Everyone has their 1,000, right? It doesn't have to be physical 1,000. Yeah. It's going to be 1,000 or something else.
Yeah. We'll row a marathon whenever you want to row a marathon.
Whenever you
want. Oh, these guys.
Quit. You know, in a serious way, we talked about that, right?
Just drowning.
I took Nick on that journey with me. I needed him on that with me, right?
I did half of that with you guys.
Half of that, right?
But that was like years ago, too.
That was 2 years ago. Gosh. So,
and I was still doing Murph.
So my favorite part about that is not only did I learn so much about me, you know what I learned? Mm-hmm. I learned about Nick. I learned that he didn't cramp up in 3.5 hours, and I did. Mm-hmm. I cramped up so bad, and I was like, man, maybe I should have learned something about him. We still ate Chick-fil-A before, but that's not here nor there. But what I learned about Nick is he doesn't cramp the same way I did.
It's because he breathes. He was like, you know, if you actually breathe in your sit-ups, you won't cramp. And I was like,
that face right there.
No, that's not true.
That's not true.
It can't be true.
It's absolutely true.
And then I'm doing it, I'm like, but I'm 50 in, I'm like, oh God.
Doing stuff with people.
Dang it, Nick is right. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So, final step is help someone, right? So, I think we kind of just touched up on it. That is the final step to this because I think the act of helping someone also prevents you from relapsing. I think that's a huge step for alcoholics, right? That's why they have sponsors because in the act of that, you actually get fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You fill up more than what alcohol can ever do for you. You fill up more than whatever you experience on there. I think that's why everyone is coaches because everyone is going through hard times. Everyone is going through whatever journey they're in. The final step is just to help. And it might be just a narrative. Maybe it's just you hugging them. Maybe it's just telling them that you're hearing them. I got you, dude. I've been there.
Well, that's why people become coaches. You've been helped, and now you're like, I need to help somebody else. Mm-hmm. You lost all that weight. We've heard TJ. Mm-hmm. He was helped. All he does is help.
Wow.
That's how it works. You know TJ.
Yeah.
Because you know him.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
And we all know the story, right? Every time I hear the story, I love it more and more.
Link that up
because it reminds me Absolutely. I when you're like, yeah,
that was a good one.
That's TJ. That as cool as that is, Nick. Nah, that's yeah. not Nick. That's TJ.
For the audience, if you want to see some teary-eyed action,
go watch that episode.
Watch that episode. I'll put a little link on the show. It was good. I got him. Like I always told him, I was like, I tried to get Corey. It didn't work. Guy has no soul, right? But I tried. I was like, I got to get one of them. All right, so let's end with this because I'm getting super hungry and you know, I'll make bad decisions if I do that. So only one. Okay, don't give me like a. James, talking when I say only one, I'm talking about you, right? Nick is good with just one. Okay. So if someone is going through a hard time right now, what would you tell them?
Find your quiet place that allows you to be vocal. That's it.
Movement, meditation, whatever that means to you. Can be shooting hoops, can be hitting a tennis ball, hitting a table tennis, can be golf, can be dancing, can be yoga, mm-hmm. can be walking, can be jogging, mm-hmm. movement, meditation.
Move. Listen, mine is you're not the only person that lives in this beautiful world that experienced that. Mm-hmm. And I think that just like, that's just, it gives me a sense of connectedness. I'm not the only one that had this financial trouble, mm-hmm. this death in the family, right? This heartache, this like breaking up with someone. There's 8 billion people in the world. Mm-hmm. You're not the only one. Reach out, learn from them or watch them, whatever that is. And if you can't, ask for help, right? So those are going to be the big three. I appreciate you guys. Hopefully the audio comes out great. Hopefully if you guys have kids watching.
Parental discretion is advised.
You are like, we behave.
Pretty good.
Yeah, we did do pretty
good. Except for Nick.
We did.
That's
so,
to be expected.
So guys, do me a favor. If you guys have something that you do specifically in terms of a hard time, comment below on, and we chit chat on that, right? We'd love to know how you process hard times. It's going to help somebody else. And if you guys like this episode, make sure to share it. Make sure to subscribe. And I heard if you subscribe, you get 10% better in terms of what you look like.
That part's real true.
Those are facts.
It's actually not how you see yourself. It's how others see you.
It's like, do you subscribe? You must have subscribed because you look pretty.
Others will see you better once you subscribe.
I did subscribe. And I was like,
because you will be better.
Done. So I'll see you guys later. Peace out. Chances are, if you are a human being...